3, 2, 1.
This is Remzo Republic,
the clash of punk rock and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the one, the only Remso Republic. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez, bringing you great conversations from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia. Thank you so much for tuning in. For all of you listeners that have been hanging out with us for a while, for all of you new guys coming, welcome. This is such a time to be alive. Season 2 has been such a blast. Whether it was bringing on Jim Harold or Jeff Carson or any of the other fantastic guests. I mean, how often do you get to hear Jason Stapleton come on someone else's show? He rarely does that except for maybe two other programs. I mean, this has been awesome. We were top charts on iTunes. I cannot thank you enough for being a loyal listener of the show and for checking it out. This is the first time. And if this is your first time tuning in, I want to go ahead and say you are in for a treat. As you know, every year in Virginia, we go through the arduous Battle of Thermopylae known as another election. It just never ends. But the great thing about Virginia politics is where Virginia goes, it seems that the rest of the country tends to echo what comes from here. I mean, if you look at the Congress, for example, and the House of Representatives, most of the House Freedom Caucus is made up of Virginians. Our best presidents were from Virginia. You look at Madison, you look at Jefferson, you look at George Washington, Virginia leads the way. I want to say we're just a little bit more awesome than the other 49, but, you know, I might just be a little biased. Speaking of that, Virginia, we do a lot of good in terms of setting the course for a liberty-minded direction, a more conservative direction. But every year, we seem to get, I don't know. I don't want to use this term because as Delegate Nick Freitas stated, if you remember early on in the season, we need to define our terms. So I'm going to define this term. We have a lot of just career politicians who like business as usual. They'll say the things to get elected, and then they go in and they just screw everything else up. That's my definition of establishment. Someone that will tell you what you need to hear, and then they get in, and then they screw you over, and then they say, oh, but it was compromise. We just couldn't do it. We had to make a bipartisan effort, and it's just the same thing that we always hear. But today we're bringing on one of probably the most interesting candidates in this entire governor's race. As you know, everyone has basically been disappointing me this entire time from the GOP side. But he came in kind of last minute. And I've got to say, if you're looking for a guy to give you the same, you know, type of, oh, I'm an outsider speech, you're not going to get it from this guy. Because he came in not just because he thought, hey, this might be a good opportunity. He came in because he genuinely thinks he could bring change, because he genuinely understands what happens when government gets in the way of free people trying to live their lives peacefully and thrive in the marketplace as they should. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you one of the candidates for the Republican nomination for governor of Virginia, Denver Riggleman. Denver, how are you doing?
I'm good, and amen, Remzo. I like that intro.
Thank you. So, Denver, I've got to ask, man. We hear a lot of people running, and it wasn't just Trump. I mean, I can just go on Twitter and look at half the guys that ran as Republicans last year, and they're like, oh, I'm an outsider. You know, I'm a rabble rouser. I'll yell at this dude and I'll vote down that dude. And I'm just going to go hardline all the way. I'm just going to go Mad Max crazy. I didn't get that from you when I saw you speak several weeks ago. So just for those listeners that might not have heard about your message and everything else yet, can you give kind of a background of who you are and why you actually, you know, believe in what you're telling people right now?
Well, Remzo, you probably heard I'm not much of a yeller. I think action speaks a little bit louder than words. And sometimes I think that loudness and intelligence are mutually exclusive. So I think you just need to present your message on the battlefield of ideas. I really do. But for me, you know, came back to Virginia after 20 years of military and supporting the Department of Defense. I was Air Force Intelligence, Remzo, married for 27 years. Born in Virginia, Virginia born and bred. I think I'm the only Republican candidate born in Virginia, which I don't know if it matters anymore, but I think it does to some. But yeah, what it comes down to, after I served my country, after I started and sold a pretty successful Department of Defense contracting company that supported counter-IED operations and counterterrorism things, my wife and I decided to come back to Virginia and fulfill her dream of starting a distillery, which is Silverback Distillery here in Afton, Virginia. And I didn't know, Remso, that when I came back home, that I'd be fighting a three-front war after, you know, serving in the military and the DOD. So really, it comes down to we just got involved with some lobbyists and some pay-to-play type of guys, a lot of regulatory issues, and also environmental extortion. And we were fighting a three-front war, Remso, and at some point, it's either fight or flight. I got backed into a corner. And there's something, you know, there's something about a pissed off vet that I think people like, Remso, and that's why I'm doing it.
No, exactly. And the thing that I actually, you know, really appreciate about you is I hate politics. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And the only reason why I've spent so much of my time as an activist, as a policy guy, as a person that spent countless hours and money and time and my honor and sacred reputation and everything else was because government took an interest in me. And it was taking interest in everyone. But people either sit by and just say, I can't do anything, or they say, I just, you know, there's nothing you could do about it, or they get involved. And that's the thing about you. You didn't jump in this race because you just thought, oh, there are a couple things there. You know, you brought it up a moment ago. You have to protect your business and the business of so many other Virginians out here. You know, the government doesn't understand how markets work. They don't understand what it's like to actually create something. They don't know what it's like to make a profit and have honest relationships with your customers. And that was a great thing that I think you brought up, you know, just now and several weeks ago when we met. It's this idea that, you know, we have to get involved at some point.
We have to. And I thought that I had done my part, Remso. You know, you think about it. 11 years in the military, started a company that was still supporting operations. So I did my military thing, did my ops thing, did my business thing, everything that's sort of the American dream, right? You know, from nothing to something. When I enlisted, Remso, in 92, I was 22 years old. In 1993, I was making $884 a month. We had to go on food stamps and WIC just to get through. And here we are, you know, finally in 2012, we sort of made it. And we're getting attacked in our home state from bureaucrats that I believe had just been in office too long. And I thought that reason and rationality would win. But you probably heard a couple of the things, Remso. When you get threatened behind closed doors and you know what collateral damage is and you have a lobbyist tell you that, sorry, Denver, you're right on everything, but you're not paying off the right people. So you just have to accept the fact that you're collateral damage. Those are quotes, Remso. And at some point, you have to get back into service. Not only that, and I don't know if you want quotes on here, Remso, and if you have to beep things out, I think, or bleep them out,
Bring it.
Well, I had a lobbyist when I was talking about the incredible tax load on our business, which is about 54% on every bottle of liquor that we sell out of our own distillery, because they still charge a markup fee, even though they're not selling it out of stores. I could tell you that story. But when I brought the numbers to him, he patted me on the knee. He said, Denver, you needed to ask permission first. This was a lobbyist. And then he said, we're not confrontational, but we're going to kick your ass. And those are the type of things, Remso. I mean, I was in the military, and these guys were bold enough and brazen enough to do this to my face. Usually there were five or six of them, not just one-on-one, Remso, you can imagine.
They never play fair.
Oh,
they
no.
Never, they
no.
never do.
No. And if you start looking into VPAP, you start looking into things, if you haven't really been involved with politics, you voted, but you were too darn busy, or you thought that maybe things were fair, or you thought that the movies were just the movies when it came to how lobbyists pay to play inside of our government systems. When you finally start seeing it for yourself, Remso, you get this chill down your back, you get frightened, and you wonder if you've stepped into some kind of alternate universe. And then you think, okay, either I got to flee my state, which my wife and I had signed a lease in Pennsylvania to leave the state of Virginia with our business, or you fight. So Remso, here's exactly how it went down. I never wanted to run for governor. I've never wanted to be in politics. I think it's slimy. And this is a very honest thing that I'm telling you here. But when I was laying in bed with my wife, and nothing weird was going on, I just want you to know that. But I was laying in bed with my wife. She goes, Denver, you have never run from anything in your life. And is this when we're going to start? And that is a powerful statement. So instead of running for state delegate or something like that, I wanted to come over the top with Thor's hammer, because the personal becomes public. And there's a reason that all of us get involved. And I think if wrongs are being done to others, that's why we serve. At some point, you got to fight. And that's why I'm doing it. That is, it's really a simple thing. And, you know, not, and it's also eminent domain with Dominion, Remzo. You probably heard all the stories, what we went through for 3 years, the hell that we went through. But there comes a time that you either fight or you flee. And I decided to fight.
Exactly. You know, growing up, I had read Atlas Shrugged, and you look at the way the government interacts with businesses. You know, they threaten them, they coerce them, they try and, you know, slip in and buy them out from the inside quietly so no one notices. But, you know, I was reading a copy of Atlas Shrugged recently, just going through John Galt's speech, and somebody came by and, you know, they said, you know, you libertarians, you conservatives, you look at the character of John Galt and he's a coward. He ran away. And I said, no, John Galt just knew when to come back and fight. And truly, I think for Virginia, I think with you, this is a true John Galt moment.
Oh, my goodness. That's a heck of a statement, Remzo, because, you know, I'm pretty familiar with Atlas Shrugged and Fountainhead. And I have to say, you know, when he read the books theoretically, right? I'm 46 now, Remzo. I'm an old Gen Xer, okay? So when you read the books theoretically, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you're like, yeah, I get it. You know, yeah, it's okay. So, yeah, the government has some control. Not really. I think it's a little bit overblown. When I started a service company in the military and federal contracting, you have federal acquisition regulations. The amount of regulation in federal contracting is obscene. When I got out of it, Remzo, I thought starting a manufacturing facility for liquor couldn't be quite as bad as what I just went through. But it is. And all of those issues are based on exactly what you said, and I agree with you 100%. It's this death by a thousand cuts of regulations and taxes made by bureaucrats and politicians who've been out of the real world for too long and believe that our pockets are an unlimited candy jar of funding. And it, you know, if they're not going to kill you with taxes, they're going to kill you with fees. And if you don't stay under control, they're going to kill you with investigations. And if I told you some of the other stories, I don't know if you would even believe them. And I didn't believe it, Remzo. I actually said there's no way it could be related that what's happening to us on this side is somehow related to this side. That is a fantasy. That only happens in books that I've read. But the more I looked into it, not true, Remzo. Those things are real. Government has a way of pulling the strings, especially at the local level, that can really put a hurt on you.
Definitely. Denver, we're going to keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remzo Republic with special guest Denver Riggleman. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
The voice of the Liberty Generation, Remzo W. Martinez.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remzo Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
They're hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with a hooker.
Them yelling at
them
you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want when you want. Just email alexmerced at alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're going to go ahead and kind of pivot on our conversation from earlier. Denver, you know, This is a really funny race to watch because I remember watching Ed Gillespie run for Senate against my good friend Robert Sarvis in 2014. And I lived right next to Prince William County where Corey Stewart resides. And it's funny because everyone's trying to out-conservative each other. Everyone's trying to, you know, just... I'm looking out for you, and that guy's a crook, and, oh, I'm the only one that thinks about you, and he'll murder your family. I'm just curious because, you know, I could bring on, like, Frank Wagner and everyone, they pretty much, I think in terms of all the GOP candidates, they all have similar platforms for the most part. They all kind of echo the same thing to make sure that they're not really kind of shaking the wagon, so to speak. So, really, at this point, what do you think is the biggest thing that separates you policy-wise, issue-wise, against the other candidates running for the GOP nomination here?
I think it's maximum transparency, Rumzo. It is the liberty message. And you said something that people talk about liberty, then they compromise. You know, the transparency thing with Dominion, the fact that there's Democrats out there even, and hate to say this, that think that Dominion has too much power. I mean, think about that. There's people out there that are afraid to say that there's lobbyists and donor class individuals in the state government that control our Commonwealth. And that has not been said by anybody else. There's a fear because all of them, I guess when you serve, what do they have, 6 decades of combined political experience between the three of them? There's a fear of saying certain things that I have no fear of saying. And I can say it soberly. I can say it just in this tone that I'm talking to you right now, Remzo. I can say this, you know, you, sir, have you taken $100,000 from this lobbyist and do your votes parallel that? You over here. In the 10 years you've been over doing whatever you're doing over here, have you taken money from these guys and has that greased certain things that have hurt other people? Are all of you here to pick winners and losers through crony capitalism? What have you done really to help the Commonwealth? And those are tough questions. Now, it's a disadvantage that I've never run before, but it's also advantage, Remzo, because as a citizen servant, as an advocate, not as somebody who's been in politics, you can call them to task. It's not fair for them. It really isn't fair. They're going to come say I'm inexperienced or something like that. But I tell you this, I've run a $17 million company. I've done things in the military world they can only imagine. And I think if you can execute a mission, you can run a successful company and you have integrity. And you know that you have to surround yourself with the correct talent and the right people to get you through the wickets. You can make some serious change. So I really think the only thing that really separates us, and I think it's huge, is actually transparency. And with that comes culture, because anybody who's in charge of an organization sets the culture of that entire organization. You don't want a bunch of little Stalins running around who think they have carte blanche to just regulate people out of existence based on who's sitting at the top, like McAuliffe right now. What if you had somebody out there? What if you had a governor, Remzo, that left office? Not this 2-for-1 Reins Act. What if you had somebody who said, okay, we have 25% less regulations right now than we did when I came into office? That's the kind of stuff I'm looking at, Remzo, is how do you do that? You do that by stripping apart every state organization, auditing it, looking at the spending, taking months to do that, doing the right thing, and then saying these things are gone, not just reformed, they're dismantled. And I think that's something I can do that the other candidates can't.
No, definitely. I like what you're saying at that point. One issue that I think a lot of the Republicans have been weak on, because I mean they all agree on this. For me, my biggest thing is if we want to start freeing the minds of millions of Americans, it starts with education. And everyone tends to focus at the federal level. And I spent over a year just attacking Common Core and everything else. But the real terror is actually at the state level when it comes to things like, you know, being anti-homeschooler, being anti-charter schools, being anti-school choice, when it comes to just absolutely crazing testing that we see in terms of SOLs here in the state. So, you know, I'm just curious, in terms of what you would affect as governor, what's your real stance in terms of education reform here in the Commonwealth?
Now, you know I answer honestly, so you ready?
Ready.
So here we go. So number one, I think we need to improve our public system by getting the federal government out of our federal system. We don't get the aid we get from the federal side anyway. So any Common Core type principles and SOLs, the AYP, I've talked to a lot of educators, even those that are as left as you can get, and they're like, Denver, that's killing students. I agree with them. The second thing is that we have to have liberty in our school choice. The hard part for me, and Remzo, it's because I don't know everything, is how do we make sure that our infrastructure costs follow the students? If money follows the students, if a lot of people are leaving one school to go to another school, what does it do to the students that don't leave that school at REMSO? That is the one question that bothers me, because I know school choice is a have to. So we have to figure out the liberty side of this. But here's priority-wise, can we fix our public school system first, where school choice is not as much of an issue? Or do we have to go to a point where we have both? We try to fix our public school system by getting the federal government out of it. By the way, I'm 46 REMSO. I didn't have Common Core, and I did get into the University of Virginia through a scholarship, so I did okay. And I was able to do certain things, you know, with an IQ, you know, without doing that. And the second thing is to make sure those that are not in well in good performing schools, they have to have the opportunity to go somewhere else. I think we can do both, REMSO. So let's get the federal government out. And I'll tell you the reason the federal government in is because we have an IV of money coming from the federal side that's sucking into our veins or hooked into our veins. And we need to pull that out. We need to figure out how Virginia needs to do it on its own. That's my belief system, REMSO.
I definitely like that concept. And I understand it. That was one of the difficult things that I had in terms of understanding that, you know, there are a lot of people that they, you know, they will ultimately still choose their local public school. But, you know, from my side, it's always been, you know, everything else has to compete in the market. Why is education one of the few areas where it's so insulated, where it's this idea that, you know, we have to make sure that the public schools are the priority and everything else? And it's like you said, if we just allowed, you know, parents the freedom to actually say, hey, I want to take the money that would be going here and I want to be able to put it towards my child's education here or there, everything else. It's about empowering students by empowering families.
It is. And I think if you empower parents and they have that choice, I think you would see the public schools improve pretty darn fast, REMSO. That is an incentive. For me, if I'm an administrator and like, hey, we got people leaving this school, we need to do something better here, that is incentivization. I just want to make sure that other students who are stuck, who don't move to another school, I just want to make sure that we have somehow to adjudicate that type of infrastructure cost. Or if we have 1,000 students moving, you know, en masse to one school because it's better, how do we figure that out? I don't know yet. That's why I'm talking to so many people. It's like, how do we figure out the fairest way to do school choice? Because it is a liberty issue. So I got to do it. It's something I got to do.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's, you know, it's both sides of this. And yeah, some public school administrators are going to scream. But if I give them the freedom to run their school without federal interference, I think we can make both sides happy. I know it's impossible to make everybody happy, but I do think we can make both sides happy. But again, we have to move towards liberty in everything that we do and towards freedom.
Definitely. I completely understand that. My last question before we go ahead and hit our final commercial break. One thing that I didn't really like about Ken Cuccinelli in 2013 was the fact that he was not necessarily a supporter of the Tim Tebow Act, which will allow homeschooled students the opportunity to participate in public school sports.
Yes.
One thing I really respect is that you have delegates like Delegate Nick Freitas, and you have State Senator Dick Black. Every time that, you know, that Tim Tebow bill or something extremely similar to that has been put in, they're some of the few people that continually vote for it. But even Republicans will constantly shoot it down. What's your stance on that?
I'd sign it.
Boom.
So I'd sign it. So why not? Really, what is the real argument against it, REMSO? And if somebody wants to come and tell me what the argument is against it, why not? So you're telling me somebody who's homeschooled can't go play football? Come on. I mean, it's just it's a ridiculous thing, and I would sign it in a heartbeat.
Perfect. Folks, we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break. Hang on tight. We'll be right back in a moment.
We'll be back shortly.
Stay up to date with the latest news and updates by visiting
RemsoRepublic.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcast and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're gonna kind of wrap things up. I want to get I want to paint with broad brushstrokes here. But Denver, as you've been traveling across the Commonwealth, what are some of the sentiments you're hearing from people? What are the issues you're hearing, you know, from the people? Because Virginia is really one of those states where you go on one end and you go the other, and it's a completely different culture. I live in Fairfax County, Virginia, and I go to school at Liberty University out here in Lynchburg, and it's like I'm traveling between, you know, the more conservative traditionalist South, and then I go with that little blue communist blip of Fairfax where they will constantly vote, you know, for progressive policies that really screw the rest of us over.
Well, you know, I was born in Manassas. I don't know if you knew that. And I'm a Prince William County boy. My parents still live there. So a little bit frightening for Corey, I think, Remso. That is my home. That's where I was born and raised. So watch out. I've been up to Northern Virginia, you know, places like Stafford, Spotsylvania, which it really is in Northern Virginia, but every place is so different. But the one thing I'm hitting on, when I go over all the regulatory burdens that I faced, and my eminent domain fight and the quotes that have been told to me and my belief, in certain ways of doing things as far as transparency, you know what I get? I get gasps in the audience. It's funny. Some of the stories I tell, like, when they told me to rip out my whole construction entrance because they measured it and the curb was 1 inch too high. So they made me spend another $8,000 to open my business. Just those little stories like that, Remzi, you would think that I'm just having fun telling the stories of this bureaucratic nightmare that I went through. And it takes me about 20 minutes to go through every step of the hell that my wife and I endured from these people on every level and the eminent domain issue. People gasp. And they're like, we understand why you're fighting. This is why we have to stop this. The government is killing us. They're destroying us. And what I hear if I go south is this. Northern Virginia, as you know, Remzo, we get more money than any other state federally based on our contract and the Pentagon and everything. How in the heck are we 33rd in GDP growth when we're first in the amount of federal monies we receive? That's because we've been lazy. And they believe in some kind of north to south trickle down with our defense contracting and things like that. You see just this complete ignore. They're just ignoring the South, South Side, Southwest. And what I'm seeing is this desperation to free us. And I think it's the gasps of those people. When I talk about what's going on, they're like, this is what's happening to us. Free us. Help us. Let's stop the madness. And a lot of that, Remzo, comes from one thing. And it's stopping cronyism, and it's stopping one-off picking winners and losers at every level of government. And that is the thing that I've heard the most, is they get excited when I talk about liberty and when I talk about integrity in politics. And I know you would think it's some kind of massive procedural thing or some process or some kind of policy issue. But when you talk about when I say the words blunt force trauma, or I say dragging vampires into the sunlight, they get pretty excited. They get really excited.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up earlier, because, you know, when it comes to Northern Virginia, it's one of the richest places in the country. And you have so many people that have been, you know, just coming around from the Midwest and the West Coast and from up north, and they come to Northern Virginia and they bring their policies with them. And one of the reasons why Ed Gillespie won the Senate nomination in 2014 versus Shaq Hill, who's an actual conservative, was because a lot of Republicans were like, you know what? Yeah, a majority of the Commonwealth is, you know, they're very individualistic. They want, you know, they don't necessarily care what you do as long as you don't break their back or pick their pocket. But when it came to just Northern Virginia, a lot of them were like, you know what? We need a moderate because those are the people that are going to go out and force. We need a moderate because those are the people that are, you know, they're never going to vote Republican if we don't give them someone that's a moderate. What do you think of that? Because I still hear Republicans saying that, and it's as if they didn't learn from what happened not even, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago. It happened recently here.
I think moderate's not the right word. I don't think far right's the right word. Remzo, from everybody I'm talking to, they said they just want a patriot. They want somebody that's honest. They want somebody who's not a politician. They want somebody who's not part of the game. They want somebody who's not been bought and sold. They want somebody who hasn't been peddling influence. They want somebody who speaks truth. I don't even think they're looking for somebody to 100% that aligns with them 100%, Remzo. I've had people say, Denver, even if you align with me 70%, you're so frappin' honest. You're sort of genuine. They're like, just win. And, you know, I scratch my head, Remzo, because, you know, I'm still learning. The learning curve's straight up. You know, I'm still learning this thing. And I'm looking at them going, I'm just going to try my best. I can't tell you I know all the answers yet. And they're like, thank God you're at least honest and tell us you don't know and that you're going to try to figure it out. Remzo, can you imagine that? I mean, you know, they're desperate for somebody to go in there and just rip things apart and to try to find out who's doing them wrong and to try to make government work for them. And to stop with the ridiculous regulations and to stop with the ridiculous rules and farm bills and intrusive, unconstitutional stuff because people are afraid to do the right thing. They're looking for that. So, Remzo, I think it's about somebody who's just willing to go in there with conservative values and say, here's what I'm going to do. I represent you. I represent your values. And if I represent your values well enough, vote for me. And I promise you I'll do the best I can because I'm not looking for another job after 4 years. This is not my career field. I'm probably the only one in this governor's race who dreads this because I didn't want to do it. I feel like I have to do it. And I think that's what's going to resonate. And I think that's how you win something is you go all in with integrity.
Denver, if people want to learn more about your campaign, possibly donate, volunteer, check out your stances, how can they learn more about you and connect with you?
Well, they can go to my website. We have one of those now, Remzo, since I guess I'm an official candidate. So, www.denverforgovernor.com. Heck, we even have Twitter, denverforgovernor4.com. Or heck, you can always email us at denver@denverforgovernor.com. I actually try to answer people personally as much as I can, even though my campaign, we are getting overwhelmed with the number of emails and messages. We're even on Facebook, which is, gosh, Remzo, social media. I thought I knew a little bit about it with my background in cyber. I don't think I've ever seen so much histrionics on social media, but you know what? You got to have Facebook. So you can go look me in Facebook too, Remzo.
Outstanding. Denver Riggleman, thank you so much for coming on the show, sir. Best of luck. And thank you for coming on. You're the only person that out of this entire governor's field and even the lieutenant governor's field, which, you know, kind of surprises me because there are several candidates for lieutenant governor that desperately need to, you know, get some type of media at this point. I definitely really appreciate it because Virginia's my home. It's, you know, it's my family's home. We've been living here since 2008, and gosh darn it, I plan on being here for the foreseeable future. So I'm as invested in this race as any other Virginian. I'm not Virginian by birth, but I'm a Virginian by choice.
That's right. And you know what? There's some power to being a Virginian by choice, isn't there? You're here because you want to fight. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And how about this, Remzo? When I win the primary, give me a day to try to sleep. Right, June 14th. On June 15th, how about we talk about what is today, February 19th? And you'll say, goodness gracious, Denver, on February 19th, you were talking to me, and now here you are winning the primary. So how about June 15th, me and you talk again, Remzo?
Deal. It's a solid
right,
deal. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Hey, thank you for having me and spending your Sunday night, too. I know it's, your time is valuable, and I appreciate it.
Definitely. It was worth it. Anyway, folks, this is one of those situations where you're probably listening from, let's look at our top 10 states, Kansas, Washington, Texas, God, I love Texas, California, we've got some liberty lovers in California, and New York, and Florida. Let me tell you, you're probably wondering, why should I care about Virginia? because it's like I said, Virginia is an echo for what happens on the country, because we are right across the street from that swamp known as DC. And if you want to actually make a difference, you might not see the opportunity in your town. You might not see the opportunity in your state. You might be in one of those states where you're like, yeah, the Electoral College is against me. But investing in liberty here will echo throughout the country. So get involved. Check them out. And if you really want to help us out, I don't know, maybe subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Player FM. And if you can't find the app or network of your choice, go ahead and check us out at remsorepublic.com/podcast, and you can go ahead and find the thing that works for you. As always, be good to your neighbor, fight for liberty, and prosper. Be free. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?